Welcome to That's Orgasmic, a podcast discussing the orgasmic and not so orgasmic moments of all things sex, relationships, and mental health. I am your host, Emily Duncan, and I'm a sexologist who provides online sex coaching sessions to help you cultivate sexual wellness. This podcast is being recorded on Wadawurrung land. We pay our respect to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past and present. We extend that respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. Please enjoy this episode. Today I'm joined with Dr. Elliot Justin, who is the CEO and founder of FirmTech, the first sex tech company dedicated to improving men's erectile fitness. So in this episode, we talk all about erectile health, erectile fitness, what that is, and also erectile dysfunction. So anybody who struggles to get an erection, maintain an erection, or experiences things like premature ejaculation, this is the episode for you. We talk about the things you can do, why these things even happen, and also this really cool new cock ring. Before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to let you know that I've opened up a wait list for sessions with me at Emily Duncan Sexology. This is for anybody who has looked at my session times and they just don't quite work for you and your schedule. I have a lot of international clients, and because of time zones, it can be quite difficult to book in with my current session times. So please, if you've been wanting to book in a session with me, jump onto the website, join the waitlist, or email me at emilyduncan@thatsorgasmic.com telling me that you want to join the waitlist, and I will let you know when more session times have appeared, and hopefully they'll work for you. Now, please enjoy today's episode. So today I want to discuss erectile health. I think it's a really important topic, and I think it's something that people aren't necessarily talking about. Like, people aren't, you know, checking and going, how are your erections, or having those, I guess, seeing it as an indicator of health. So I want to talk about healthy erections to erectile difficulties, but I really want to start with the basics so that the listeners are across everything. What is erectile health?
Well, erectile health is a measure of your ability to perform sexually. We call it erectile fitness because we're all men, and women for that matter too, are we're all on this path from erectile fitness to erectile dysfunction. And we'd all like to be able to stop where we are and say, I don't want to deteriorate anymore. I don't want to go down that path. Or if we are having troubles, we'd like to be able to reverse our direction and go back to where things are better for us. So, you know, Emily, we're fortunate to live in this age of wearables for health, smart watches, smart rings, smart bands, smart scales, you know, et cetera. And it's quite telling, though, that in that world, there's a huge gap, and that's sex. And what do men, and women for that matter, what do people care more about? How many steps it took yesterday? Whether they lost a quarter kilogram or gained a quarter kilogram, or the status of their sexual health. So our mission at FirmTech is better sex for everyone, and better sex for everyone through data. That's the game changer. So right now, if I'm 70 years old, if I went to a doctor and said, gee, I feel a little short of breath and a little chest pain when I walk down the driveway, and the doctor just said, hey, we'll try some pills, I would think, you know, what the fuck is this, 1880? I want an electrocardiogram. I want blood tests. Even the same thing with someone your age. If you went to a doctor with a problem, you'd expect that their diagnosis would be based upon data, not just upon their opinion. But when it comes to sex for men and women, doctors have really failed people. We don't have data. We just prescribe. And that's we just say, take this pill, try that pill. In addition to which, doctors don't rate sex as that important. We don't ask people about the status of their relationships, the status of their marriages, the status of their sexual health. So we're in this horrible situation right now where, you know, genuine pandemic is erectile dysfunction. And it's worse for women than it is for men. But for men, by age 50, 50% of men have erectile dysfunction. By age 30, it's about 25 to 30%. And it's multifactorial. But for women, it's worse. And why is it worse for women? Because postmenopausal women have all the same problems that men do with diabetes, hypertension, atherosclerosis, etc. But their hormones protect them. But once they go through menopause, they lose that protection to some degree. Premenopausal women take hormones and SSRI antidepressants, both of which have a major impact on this on their sexual health. And right now, there's no way of actually objectively measuring that impact. So if you have data, if you can track it, you can hack it. And that's what we want to deliver to men and women.
Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting, especially about the, I guess, the medical system. Like, they don't ask. I know so many people that if they go to the doctor for an erectile difficulty in particular, it's like, oh, he's Viagra. And especially as somebody who works as a clinical sexologist, I'm like, there's so much more. Like,
well, what the doctors don't get. I mean, it's one thing for guys 25 years old can't get up on a date or two to check out a pill. But if you're 45, 50 years old and you have hypertension or diabetes, you need a workup. You have a cardiovascular problem until proven otherwise. And that's how I actually got involved in this. I've always really been interested in sex. And I probably got involved in this because I'm an outlier in terms of my interest. You know, I don't know of many other men whose mothers took them to see urologists three times when they were teenagers because of their masturbation habit. She thought I would never get into college. And when I went off to medical school, I went to the medical library and wanted to read about aphrodisiacs. I was alone. There was no long line of other medical students trying to get to the books and read about aphrodisiacs. By the way, none of them work. About three years ago, a urologist, professor at the University of Utah, challenged me with coming up with a way of counting the number of men's nocturnal erections that he said are a leading indicator of vascular health. So let me unpack that. So I was ignorant, like most doctors, that nocturnal erections are of any significance whatsoever. I mean, my thought was like, what the fuck? Why do you want to know that? I don't know what you call morning wood in Australia, but everyone knows about morning wood, and we poke our partners with it and they laugh about it. But the fact that is a leading indicator. So what does leading indicator mean? It means it's predictive of your cardiovascular health. So if a man in good health has 3 to 5 nocturnal erections per night and that number goes down, that man is on his way to having a heart attack or a stroke, or he has a major side effect from a medication. Whereas blood pressure is just association. I mean, high blood pressure is just associated with stroke or heart attack. But we check out blood pressures religiously here in the United States, and you're probably doing in Australia too. You go to the doctor, they check your blood pressure. You go to the gym, they encourage you to check your blood pressure. So following your nocturnal erections is really, really valuable. Now, this doctor, this professor of urology, like most straight urologists, doesn't know shit about sex toys. So I do. I mean, my wife and I pretty much have sex every day, and I have had for years and years. We buy sex toys, and we play around with things, and cock rings suck. They're these hard rubber gaskets or nooses that you put in a penis. They can help to keep an erection hard, but they don't enhance your pleasure. They don't tell you anything of any importance, and you want them off after 25 or 30 minutes because they pinch. They're uncomfortable. So when he told me to come up with that counting nocturnal erections, I thought, well, there's a challenge. We have to come up with a cock ring now that can be worn comfortably overnight. So we need – I'm reaching for one right now. We're reaching for the material. We need to change the material of cock rings. So instead of our ring being made out of hard silicone, this ring is made out of soft silicone. So it's comfortable. It's soft. You might notice this feature on it. So this is the only cock ring that's made with this feature. I'm pointing – are we on camera right now? I guess we are. That's a hook. So I would say half of the heterosexual sex probably in the world – in a committed relationship starts when a man is scratching his wife or girlfriend's back after she takes a bra off at night. So why is that? Because silicone is uncomfortable. It's irritating to the skin. Well, a cock ring made of silicone is like a woman putting on a bra that's like 3 or 4 sizes too small for her. You want the damn thing off right away. So this is made out of elastomer. It opens and closes with a hook. I was scratching my wife's back, and I looked at her bra on the ground and thought, oh, duh, why are we making cock rings in these O's for all this time? Put a damn hook in it, and now, I mean, women don't put on bras over their head. A bra is a ring that opens and closes. So now we have a cock ring that's easy on, easy off, closed with a hook. It's safe. It's made out of a soft elastomer. And you can put on when a man is flaccid, because one of the problems with cock rings for men is you got to have an erection first. Well, if you got to have a guy who has ED or is worried about having ED, first now you got to have an erection first. Then you got to fidget with this hard, uncomfortable thing. So we solve what I call the cock ring problem, which is we've made a cock ring that's comfortable and actually specifically designed to power a man's orgasm and make it more intense by putting the right amount of pressure over the urethra. Women have vibrators. Men have shit when it comes to effective sex toys. In my lifetime, vibrators have become mainstream. My mother's vibrator was stuffed away in the bottom dresser drawer of in a supply closet. God, I don't know how often she used it. Probably very infrequently. My wife owns I don't know how many, and for making love, she'll use two or three because she wants a different experience, shape, or form or vibration at a different time of our lovemaking. Our daughter is probably close to your age. She takes them on dates. So what do men have? Well, they have these – until before now, they just had these really uncomfortable cock rings. And these ridiculous strokers that look like something you could beat someone to death with. Mm-hmm. And are hardly an improvement on 10 fingers or a mouth or vagina. So – one of our goals at FrimpTech is to mainstream cock rings because men need to just kind of open their minds about them. One of the jokes we have at this company is, I'll ask you, how do you tell the difference between a gay doctor and a straight doctor? We ask this question at sex doctor conventions. How do you tell the difference? We ask one question.
I wouldn't have a clue. Yeah.
Do you use a cock ring? Straight guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like Superman and Kryptonite. Oh, no, I don't need that. Gay doctor. Yeah, last night you got a better one because the one I wore last night was uncomfortable. So what we're doing here is two things for men. One, we're coming up with a cock ring that's going to help them to rock harder, last longer, and have more intense orgasm and be more confident. And that benefits their partners as well, too, because they're not going to lose their erection. I'll get to that in a moment. But we're also providing men with vital data. We are worn overnight. We count the number of nocturnal erections that men have. And worn during sex, we measure the duration and firmness of erections. So with that data, men can then measure the impact of diseases like diabetes or hypertension upon their sexual health, medications. The big cock killers in our experience are antihypertensives and SSRI antidepressants, alcohol, recreational drugs, supplements, and we make it objective, and personal. But most men's problems, and you probably know from your work, most men's actually the issue is not that they can't get up; it's that they lose it. Mm. They get an erection and they lose it. Their erection fades, and that could be due to anxiety. It could also be due to venous leak syndrome. And the solution is not a PDE5 medication like Viagra or Cialis, which puts more blood in the penis. The solution is to constrain the venous return. It's a plumbing problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I would love – there's so much I want to say to the different parts there. I think to go back to a bit of the start of what you were saying there, because erectile, dysfunction increases in prevalence as penis owners get older, is that because also – like their cardiovascular health is declining? Like, is that where the link is?
Well, there are three things you need in order to have an erection. Obviously, having a partner is nice. Having access to porn is nice. But I'm talking about those. There are three things. You have to have blood flow. You have to have intact nerves. Mm-hmm. And you have to have strong muscles. So let's look at those one by one. Blood. As we get older, we develop... We get hypertension, diabetes, calcification of our small blood vessels, even worse, heart failure. We have decreased blood flow to our penis, and that is one of the major causes of non-psychological ED. The second one is nerves. Well, the diabetes not only destroys your vascular system, but interferes with your nervous system as well too. Diabetics really suffer from ED because they have a double whammy. They have both, they have neurovascular damage to their ability to achieve an erection. The third one is muscle. Well, the muscle involved in erections is smooth muscle. You can't go to the gym and improve your sexual performance to any great degree. A lot of emphasis today in men and on women is placed upon the pelvic floor. And the pelvic floor is important for your vaginal and rectal tone, but does very, very little for the clitoris or the penis itself. It doesn't put more blood into them. As we get older, all of us develop smooth muscle dysfunction. I mean, you're young, but at my age, if I sit on a plane for 5 hours, my socks get a little bit tight. A ring on my finger gets a little bit tight. Now, why is that? Didn't happen when I was 25 years old. It's because the smooth muscles that are around our small veins that pump the blood back into the heart were simply weakened with age. And the way to fight against that is by using them. So if we starved ourselves for a month and then still tried to eat a big meal, we'd vomit. We might even die because smooth muscle and gastrointestinal system is atrophied. Well, it's that way with the penis or the clitoris. It's use it or lose it. So we doctors, we make recommendations about diet, and exercise, and medication compliance, and lots of things. We need to start making recommendations about sex. And we at FirmTech, with our urology advisors, we recommend that people, that men, women too, try to have 2 or 3 orgasms a week because you want to maintain the smooth muscle tone. Now, the other part of the neurological one that I didn't mention was the mind. So psychogenic ED is a big problem, especially in younger people, though anxiety becomes a factor at all ages. So one of the things you can do with data is figure out whether that's your problem. So I'll take it at both extremes. If a man has 4 nocturnal erections per night and can't get it up with a partner, there's something going on in the relationship. And that needs to be sorted out. On the other hand, if a man is only having 1 or 2 weak nocturnal erections, well, someone's getting wrist fatigue or jaw fatigue for nothing for the last 20, 30 minutes because it ain't happening for that guy. That guy has a cardiovascular problem, a medication-related problem until proven otherwise, and needs to see a physician. And he needs to see a physician who's open-minded, who understands issues of sexual health.
It's really interesting because I don't think people are aware of this, and they've got no idea about the link between erectile health and cardiovascular health, and that, the erections throughout the night are a great thing, and that we want to be having them, and we want to be waking up with a morning erection and having a firm erection. And it's great to see that, we are being able to collect data on that now. And also the comfortability in the cock ring that you talked about before, having something that you can hook on, I think is fabulous. And because I think that's the biggest complaint that I've heard myself as a sexologist too, is just that cock rings are so uncomfortable. It's really hard to get comfort in it.
And you want them off. I mean, look, a guy with an erection, you could probably stab him in the back. You probably keep thrusting away. But you only, after 15 to 20 minutes with a conventional cock ring, you want the thing off. Well, I don't know about you, but I can guess. I'd like to make love for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't want something that after 15 to 20 minutes I want to tear off my body. The goal at FirmTech was to get the data, but in order to get the data, we had to reinvent the cock ring. It's been an interesting process. I don't have sex without it. Before I came up with this a year ago, February, I would have sex with a cock ring maybe 2 or 3 times a year. My wife and I would get one as a novelty and we'd throw it out. I don't have sex without it now. Now, technically, I don't have ED. Why do I use a cock ring all the time? Why should all men use a cock ring all the time? Because you're going to be harder. So this R-ring increases my girth, my diameter, my width by 3 or 4 millimeters. Well, no one's going to walk by me and say, oh, porn star, look at that guy. Look at that guy. He's huge. No, but what guys don't need to realize is that beyond rock hard, there's cock ring hard. There's no amount of manual, oral, vaginal, anal stimulation that's going to get a man harder than a cock ring. So if I have one mess for men, it's like, open your mind up, put a ring on it for more pleasure. There's also the confidence factor. One of the things that people don't like to talk about in relationships, I'm certain it comes up in your practice though, is boredom. So a ring is a way of dealing with the anxiety that comes from boredom. Oh my God, we're going to make love. It's going to be the same old thing, blah, blah, blah. The ring And then boredom and distraction as well, too. So I wonder whether men have discussed this with you, but one of the things that men commonly talk about among themselves, heterosexual men, gay guys don't have this problem. Heterosexual men is somehow in the middle of passionate lovemaking, my wife, my girlfriend will start talking about something else, like a fight they had at work, something went on with the kids, something went on with their parents. A couple of weeks ago, my wife started talking about redesigning the bookshelves in our bedroom. It's a really good idea, but not something I wanted to hear about. Now, before having a ring, my attitude towards that being a guy would have been anger. It would have been, what the fuck? You can't hold on to that thought for 5 or 10 more minutes? If I have a ring on, different mindset. Now I got a hard on. Hey, you want to talk about the next 5 or 10 minutes? I'm still going to be hard. It's great. And also there are positions that we, and I've heard about this from quite a few of our patients. Well, they're not my patients, they're customers. That the ring, we find ourselves making love in positions that we've given up on, like the missionary position or from behind. I mean, if you're married to someone for 35 years, these things that might still be pleasing to my wife are of limited interest to me, and I actually get annoyed if she wanted to do these things for any length of time because I would lose my erection. But now that I have an effective ring that's going to keep me hard for an hour, I love her. So yeah, you want to make love in this position or that position? Great. It also relieves the man's stress about how being aggressive, basically, because you don't have to be as aggressive. You don't have to persist with something that's going to take you to orgasm. You can do other things because the ring is keeping you hard.
Something you just mentioned then was like certain positions make it harder to have an erection, like with aging and stuff. Is there like certain ones that do make it harder for any reason, or is it really like a personal thing with each person?
I think part of it is simply mechanical, and it's also part of age. As we age, we become less sensitive. That's why a ring is great, because it holds more blood in. More blood is held in, the more sensitive we are. I think there are boredom issues, but there's also childbearing. I mean, you know, I'll again focus on my wife, who doesn't mind my talking about this. She's here in the room right now. She's had 3 children, and she's also aging. Her pelvic floor is also softer than it was. So there are certain positions that just, you know, produce less friction, and the ring changes that. The ring makes those positions more exciting again,
which is great. And being able to maintain that erection, because I think that is just such a big fear for a lot of people. Like as soon as they lose that erection, that therefore they're inadequate, gone. And that sex has to end as well.
Right.
Because it's so centered around like a penetrative sex. And I feel like that's a big part of my job is then like trying to, you know, rewrite the narrative of what sex actually looks like. So the cock ring something that you can put on when you don't have an erection. You said that, right?
Correct. Because most cock rings choke off the arterial blood flow. So you have to put them on when you're hard. Our ring could put on when a man is flaccid because they don't block the arterial flow in. They only constrain the venous return. So they don't have to interrupt sex play to put them on. And they're also, men who have performance anxiety or ED are concerned about losing their erections. They have an erection. They really want to keep it. And it can also go away really quickly. It's really, because with men and women too, so as soon as you touch on anxiety, their capacity for pleasure, diminishes. So the ring becomes a confidence builder for both parties. We've also really found the ring really valuable with men with prostate who are after status post prostate surgery too. I wasn't thinking about this when I got involved in designing the ring, but men who are status post prostate surgery really suffer from significant anxiety, performance anxiety, because they have neurological damage. So for them to have a ring that's effective is a game changer for the status, for their mental health, their self-esteem, and their relationship with their partners.
Yeah, I know, especially for those like that have had like prostate cancer. I know it's a really big issue, and from a lot of what I've seen, it's just the same like protocol of like Viagra or like the like injection pump into the penis. Or pumping. Yeah, absolutely.
We have men, Emily, who are telling us that they don't need to inject anymore, or that
That's amazing.
they don't need to take medications. They pump and they put the ring on, as opposed to having to do all three: injection, pump, and medication. We have men who are unable to penetrate, now can penetrate. Anyways, it's been really well, you're in this field too. It's been really satisfying to change so many people's lives in positive ways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, like, I can imagine just rewarding, like, seeing that feedback and that it's actually working. I'd be interested in, like, so with, like, penis pumps, is that something that I guess can help with that, preventing, like, the muscle atrophy and, like, I guess trying to get that erection and then using the cock ring afterwards to maintain it?
You know, the penis pumps basically they increase blood flow, they exercise the smooth muscle. Most penis pumps, though, come with hard silicone rings, and they pinch and they're uncomfortable. Men complain about them. And we have one of the big penis pump companies in the United States, Dr. Joel Kaplan. They sell our ring along with the penis pump. The penis pump, they're required by law to sell the hard silicone ring by regulation. Sell a hard silicone ring with a pump. But the men prefer putting our rings on afterwards because they're so much more comfortable and they can be worn for a longer sex session.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the cock ring, how many days in a row do you have to wear it to be able to get the data?
Yeah, we recommend four overnight readings. Before the data is really is really accurate. The sensors need to adapt to the individual, the personal, penis, so to speak. And after that, it's just, I use it. I'm 70 years old. So for me, it's like a blood pressure device. I get my data about once a week. I don't need the data, as long as the data stays relatively consistent, then I don't need to use it on a more intense basis. We have men who use it more regularly because they're on lots of medications and they're playing around. They or their doctors are playing around with their medication, trying to find out what is going to fix their problem. We have another ring called the Maximum Performance Ring. That's different than the tech ring. In that the Maximum Performance Ring was specifically designed to produce a more intense orgasm for a man. So again, no one's really figured out how to make vibrators really effective, for men. They certainly are pleasurable. This ring, my thought was, if we can draw out the ejaculation, we'll have a more intense orgasm. So the ring was designed to increase a man's average ejaculation phase by 50%. So my ejaculation phase goes from 4 seconds to 7 seconds. Well, that's a really more intense orgasm. I'm still not as good as my wife's vibrator for her. But my wife's, laughs and says she's glad our kids are out of the house because I'm now loud. The orgasm with the Maximum Performance Ring is so intense that, it's almost a pillow chewing, experience. And that's probably become our most popular, item. On the disease end, there was a condition called climacteria that I never heard of before, and I'm a doctor. It's when men, usually status post prostate surgery, urinate when they climax. Well, that's a rather awkward, uncomfortable, embarrassing situation. And this woman in Perth, Australia, Melissa Hadley Barrett, she has the penile rehab program. She's doing a study utilizing our device to control climacteria, and it's been almost 100% successful. Which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's super exciting. It was really interesting then. So the average erection, how long does that last for? Was it 4 seconds or was that just?
That's the ejaculation. Erection. The average erection, that's a whole other issue. So the average erection, the average nocturnal erection lasts longer than people. We have data that no one else in the world has. So we have sold 10,000, maybe 11,000 product by now. Only about 1,500 of them have been the device with data. And of that group of 1,500, we have 1,000 who are regular users, meaning they use it at least once a month. So we have data about that's quite different. now what people think. Now, it could be that our people are using our device are different, but we're not seeing a lot of problems with premature ejaculation. I know this is a problem in the general population, but even when we look at men under the age of 40 in our data set, we're not seeing people who come in like 2 or 3 minutes. I know that contradicts what we're being told, but we're actually impressed by how long people have sex. It seems to be about 15, 20 minutes on average, which is nice. My hope is that people will develop a positive relationship with a device. We know with other wearables, digital scales, smartwatches, smart rings, people will start, if they have data, a lot of people get excited about it and follow it, even if it's not important to them. I mean, my wife has a digital scale. My weight's been the same forever, but I still get on that scale every day. I check my weight, even though it's never fluctuates by more than a kilogram or two in either direction. My hope is that people make love more, that if people are tracking their sexual health, that they will make love more and they will experience all the positive health benefits, mental health benefits, relationship benefits, and overall health benefits from that. I mean, we know that if people have an orgasm every day, the cortisol levels go down. So why don't people have sex every day? I don't get it. That people my age, if they have sex two or three times a week, their risk of a cardiac a catastrophe goes down by 25 to 50%, depending on what study you look at. So why wouldn't people have more sex? My hope is that using the tech ring, people will start having more sex and enjoy better health overall.
Yeah, and like if you're having better erections, it's more pleasurable, you're increasing your ejaculation from doubling it, which would be, amazing. And like something you said earlier about like being more vocal, I feel like across penis owners, they are quite quiet. So getting to the point where it's like, I mean, so much pleasure and it's so intense that, I have to express this, is I think amazing. And like to get to that point.
Yeah. By the way, the penis owner phrase always makes me kind of laugh because my wife a couple of times has intervened and said, she owns my penis. So I was born with it, but she owns it.
That's so funny. I haven't heard that before. I would love to know, where can the people listening find this product and the website, things like that?
Sure. You can find us at myfirmtech, myfirmtech.com. We do ship to Australia. Mm-hmm. There are, but shipping is expensive, and you never know what's going to happen with customs. So we are carried by a company called Calvista, who's a sex toy distributor. They carry our product to Australia. But we have a particularly close and respectful relationship with Melissa Hadley Barrett. She's in Perth, and she has the penile rehab program, and she'll – Annie, what's her email address? Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at rshealth.com.au.
Amazing.
And she's in Perth, and she has the PNL rehab program. And if men are having issues with ED, or especially men who have had prostate issues, or are contemplating surgery for ED, if they have a really serious problem, she's done great work.
Yeah. Is there anything else when it comes to erections that you think is important to touch on and like erectile health?
Yeah, there is. I think that most men's problem, as discussed earlier, is not that they can't attain erection, but that they can't sustain erection. Mm-hmm. And we have internal data of the company, and there's going to be a research paper published at the American presented at the American Urology Association in this May in the United States that indicates that if you have a problem, before you take a pill, put a ring on it. Mm-hmm. And if a man wants to, whether he has ED or doesn't have ED, for the most longest lasting, most powerful orgasm, put a ring on it, also, of course, and take a PDE5 medication. So, for example, one of the ways you can measure how hard an erection is the amount of time it takes for an erection to go down after climax. Because the more blood that's held in the penis, the longer it'll take for the erection to go down. So with the average man's erection goes away in 25 to 35 seconds with nothing. With tadalafil, It takes about 2 minutes. With the ring, at least with our ring, because that's the only one we tested, it's a little bit over 4 minutes. And with the two together, it's a little bit over 5 minutes. So that's really interesting in terms of pleasure and partner relationship. So if a young guy comes too quickly and his partner wants to keep thrusting so they can enjoy pleasure, with a conventional cock ring, as soon as a guy comes, he wants the thing off. With our ring, you're hard for 4 or 5 minutes. The young guys last even longer, sometimes six or seven minutes. And they can even get aroused enough to come again. For older men, it's just it's intimacy. So, speaking to myself and some of our older customers, if I'm hard, comfortably hard, after I climax, the male mindset of come and done, who texted me while I was fucking, I want to go get a drink, that goes away. I'm now there. I'm engaged intimately, romantically with my wife. And that's been real change for us as well too, in terms of the quality of our lovemaking. It's much less perfunctory and satisfying because it lasts, because the afterglow, so to speak, lasts longer. So what would I say? I tell men, try a ring before you take a medication. And also if you're an older man, or you have risk factors, older meaning over age 45, or you have risk factors like diabetes, hypertension, or you're taking an antidepressant, you need to know, you should want to know your data. It's time for men and their healthcare providers to start treating erectile issues objectively, and just as opposed to just giving opinions and passing out medications.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. They definitely need to start doing that. So fingers crossed with like conversations like this. And now that we have products that can record data, we'll start to see some positive change there.
I hope so.
Fingers crossed. I imagine you look at like vibrator sex toys, everything's moving in that direction. So better keep going that way.
Well, we have a score called the Erectile Fitness Score.
Yeah.
And it's like your blood pressure, electrocardiogram, for your sexual health. I'm confident that will become a standard of care in the next 2 to 5 years, because we're going to have so many research papers published over the next 2 years utilizing that score, that if a doctor or a sexologist is taking care of someone and not getting their score, it's going to be malpractice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's super interesting. It's a great field to be in. It's a very like every day there's something new, which is awesome. Now, I ask all of my guests this question, and that is, what is something that is orgasmic to you? It could be anything at all.
What's orgasmic to me is a woman's scent.
Mm-hmm.
Intoxicating. It always has been since I was young. And I think that's one thing, differences between heterosexual men and homosexual men. I've never found a homosexual man who likes the scent of a woman or the taste of a woman. And I think so. I suspect this probably has a genetic basis, as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I haven't actually heard that, but it makes sense.
Ask the question.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say a massive thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge around this and the product. I think, yeah, this is a super important conversation, and we need to be talking about erectile health more and erectile fitness, and people need to start collecting this data and looking after themselves. So thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's a pleasure.